Well, last Sunday night, as I drifted off to sleep to get ready for the week, I set my alarm beside my bed and just caught the news bulletin on that Sunday night on News Talk ZB. And I was shocked to hear this report.
Former United States President Donald Trump is making big promises if he's re-elected. During a wide-ranging speech in the state of Ohio, Trump promised those arrested for the January 6th Capitol riots that he would free them all on day one. He called for 100% tariffs on cars made in China and Mexico. He called immigrants hardened criminals. He promised the biggest deportation effort in United States history. Trump also speculated on what would happen if he's not elected in November.
Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole... That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country.
Now, of course, I could figure out that the reference to immigrants being hardened criminals was based on some of the people that were coming in illegally over the border and committing serious crimes, including the recent horrific murder of 22-year-old nursing student Lakin Riley. But I was shocked. Like, he said, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath. Did he really say that? Let's check it out. So this was the media coverage which greeted the US nation on Sunday. The Hill said bloodbath remarks give Trump a new firestorm to rally around. The rabid left-wing Guardian said Trump predicts bloodbath if he loses the election. And the US newspapers in general were singing together, NBC News, CBS News, Rolling Stone, bloodbath, bloodbath. But is that what he said? And was there any additional context to it? Well, of course, there was. Here's the fuller comments as reported by one mainstream media
to China outlet. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Now, that was convenient. Stop the comments when he hadn't actually finished. Let's check another media outlet.
100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole... That's going to be the least of it.
Trump's campaign pushing back, saying he was only talking economics, writing, Joe Biden's insane EV mandate will slaughter the American auto industry. Even Mike Pence, who says he will not endorse his former boss, coming to Trump's defense.
The president was clearly talking about the impact of imports devastating the American automotive industry.
Was that clear to you? Because it was a little muddled.
It was.
Yeah, okay. So Trump was addressing America's trade war with China, told the crowd that only his policies could save American car manufacturers, so he claims, and he said there would be a bloodbath in the automobile industry if he lost the election. Except that's not how it was reported. Australian commentator James McPherson wrote about this, and he said, as Winston Churchill once quipped, quote, a lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to get its pants on, end quote. So let me just remind you of the News Talk ZB news item again.
United States President Donald Trump is making big promises if he's re-elected. During a wide-ranging speech in the state of Ohio, Trump promised those arrested for the January 6th Capitol riots that he would free them all on day one. He called for 100% tariffs on cars made in China and Mexico. He called immigrants hardened criminals. He promised the biggest deportation effort in United States history. Trump also speculated on what would happen if he's not elected in November.
Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole... That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country.
Yeah, so in effect, he said it, but it completely misses out the context. Now, is that disinformation, misinformation, or malinformation? I'll need to check. Now, of course, the left-wing media have never used the term bloodbath before. Nope, never. Repeat after me, never.
Reports tonight on the, quote, bloodbath at the RNC.
Headlines calling it a, quote, bloodbath.
Be a bloodbath. Not only is it going to be a bloodbath, Fabian, but after they leave New Hampshire, it's a bloodbath on her home turf. That's really tough.
Trump has left a lot of corpses in his wake. I mean, we can count the bodies
as part of the, quote, MAGA drive to take over Maricopa County. And the headline refers to it as an impending bloodbath.
Columnist Charles Blow has a new piece for the New York Times entitled A Biden Bloodbath.
2018 midterms, you can bet that they 100% are fearing a slaughter. In fact, the word bloodbath and massacre come up frequently.
The Republican Party will be destroyed. It's going to be a bloodbath.
There's going to be a bloodbath one way or the other.
Bloodbath for Bernie Sanders.
It's been a bloodbath. They're shaping up to be a bloodbath.
Head off a bloodbath in next year's crucial midterm.
Off-year elections are often a bloodbath.
This week's bloodbath for Democrats.
A bloodbath at the ballot box.
There could be a Republican bloodbath.
They'll talk about a bloodbath.
It's a bloodbath. I have to talk about you.
Yeah, and so it goes on. I mean, you get the point. The media have never used the term bloodbath. You know, and that compilation done by Grabian, which is a very good website. I guess my point is I wish the media would give me the news with context without spinning it to make their friends look good and their foes look bad, and allow me to come to a conclusion, not to be told how to think. It's a pretty simple wish, but one that the mainstream media seem unable or unwilling to respect. Now, interestingly enough, the media played the same trick here in New Zealand on the same day. Deputy Prime Minister and New Zealand First Leader Winston Peters did his State of the Nation speech in his role as New Zealand First Leader. The speech was an hour long, but there was only one headline from every supposedly independent news source. From the top left, New Zealand Herald, Winston Peters compares co-governance to Nazi Germany. From Stuff, Winston Peters compares co-governance to Nazi Germany. Bottom right, Winston Peters compares co-governance to Nazi Germany. That's Radio New Zealand. In the middle there, bottom, One News, Peters compares previous government policies to Nazi Germany in fiery speech. And News Hub, The Horrors of History, Peters compares co-governance to Nazi Germany. Apparently, that was the only sentence worth reporting. But what did he really say? What was the context? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's check.
And the insidious creep of racist co-governance that has spread through legislation and the public sector, everywhere, all the way to the real estate licensing provisions. Everywhere, manipulated. No manifesto coverage, no campaign, just under the radar, dirt of this type. And what were the media saying about it? Deafening zero. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're never going to make it out of this demise if we tolerate that sort of behavior over and over again. Or when you have the audacity to say there's something dramatically wrong here, not just about the policy, but about their lack of warning, they shout racist. Not just ideological theory, it was race-based theory, where some people's DNA made them, sadly, according to these people, and condoned by their cultural fellow travellers, their DNA made them somehow better than others. I've seen that sort of philosophy before. I saw it in Nazi Germany. We all did. We've seen it elsewhere around the world in the horrors of history. But here, right in our country, and tolerated by people whose job was to keep the system honest, this happened, where some people's DNA made them better than others.
So Winston claimed that without the handbrake of New Zealand First, which failed to get back into Parliament in 2020, the country went downhill under a majority Labour government. And based on the vote in 2023, last year, it seems that the overwhelming majority agreed. And he claimed that race-based theories emerged and said, quote, some people's DNA made them, sadly, according to these people, and condoned by their cultural fellow travellers, their DNA made them somehow better than others. And he talked about the comparison with that philosophy in Nazi Germany, and he's seen it elsewhere around the world in the horrors of history. but it was being tolerated in New Zealand. Now, Winston was responding to this commentary and policy from Te Pāti Māori.
It is a known fact that the Māori genetic makeup is stronger than others.
Well, it's stronger than me, and I've got a whole lot of genetics in me.
That was on your website. Is that racist?
Why? How can it be racist when you're trying to empower a people that are climbing out from the bottom of the bonnet of colonial violence for the last 183 years? How is that racist?
I should know that statement has been removed. It is a known fact that the Māori genetic makeup is stronger than others. It was on your sport policy on your website. Well, when you think about the language you've just criticised and you compare that with the language on your own website, can you acknowledge that perhaps your language has contributed to these tensions?
How was that imposed on anybody else? We're talking to ourselves.
You're talking to everyone when you publish it on a website, are we?
Te Pāti Māori directly talks to our people.
And it's not the first time that Nazi's been thrown around in politics. Here's Green MP... disgraced Green MP Goldrose Garraman, ready to fight Nazis. You know, woman who believed that only women can be women at the Posey Parker rally. And here's the New Zealand Herald quoting researchers who claim there's an emerging neo-Nazi traditional Catholic movement in New Zealand. Who knew? And let me show you another short clip from Q&A. This is an interview last year, September, with Te Pāti Māori co-leader Rāwiri Waititi.
Divisions between Māori and non-Māori are any worse in this election campaign and political environment than in the past?
I think it's more heightened, and it's heightened because of the social theory being used by some of the other political parties on the right. You know, when you use words like apartheid, that was a white supremacist tool used in Africa against black Africans. Separatism and segregation, those are white supremacist tools used in America against African Americans. Subhuman, when you use words like subhuman, that's a word the Jews used to use to, the Nazis used to use to explain the Jews, to identify the Jews. So when you're using that type of social theory in the communities, of course it's going to create moral panic and fear. And
So the left-wing Maori party can compare the right-wing parties to Nazis. That's all okay, apparently. Did you hear about those appalling comments? Probably not. In 2022, a charity services investigation into hundreds of thousands of charitable dollars donated for John Tamahere's political campaigning, remember he's the chair of Te Pāti Māori, resulted in allegations of serious wrongdoing and a formal warning notice to the Waipiraita Trust. Now, John Tamahere hosted a Facebook Live broadcast from Waipiraita and the Māori Party Facebook pages, where he alleged media scrutiny of the charity was racist and a pogrom. And a pogrom refers to an organised massacre of a particular ethnic group. In this case, Tamahere is comparing reporting of an investigation into alleged misuse of charitable funds to the Jews facing persecution from Nazi Germany. Did you hear about those appalling comments? Well, probably not. Te Pāti Māori labelled getting rid of the Māori Health Authority as genocide. And Labour called the use of urgency by National as a dictatorship with comparisons to Vladimir Putin. Now, I think amongst all of this that probably Prime Minister Luxon probably gave the best response to all of this rhetoric.
Well, look, just from my point of view, they're not. That's not what I would say. I don't think that is. Those aren't the way that I would phrase it at all. I just think, in general, across the politics, across the parties, across the aisle, that there's actually a need for everyone to be very careful with their language. You know, I've seen Chris Hipkins refer to our government as a dictatorship. I've seen, you know, the Māori Party refer to us as white supremacists who have got some sort of genocide agenda. I don't think any of that inflammatory language is very helpful at all.
Do you think that comparison is language befitting of a Deputy Prime Minister and Foreign Minister?
Well, as I said, I don't agree with those comments. That's not something that I would express. I'm just calling on people from all political parties to maintain the civility in our politics. And I don't think extreme language on either side from any particular party is actually helpful or necessary.
Now, here's my point. In both the media coverage of Trump's comments and Winston's comments, they were misrepresented by the media. they weren't given with appropriate context. In my view, they were made to look worse than they were. Why? Well, because I think the mainstream media leans left, and both these candidates are right-leaning. If the media were consistently calling out both sides for the rhetoric in the same way, I'd support them, but they're not. And sadly, they're paying the price. Because like you, I don't trust them like I used to. Now, only they can fix that, but it seems they don't want to.